Freaking calm down, boomer. Hold on a second. All right, here we go.
What old. In the fuck of holy fucks is this I'm looking at?
Welcome to another episode of Amplified and Intensified.
Eric, you want to tell the people what they're looking at?
So this was a response that Pax8 had sent out for those who are, you know, if you're listening to the audio, you just need to go to YouTube because this is definitely going to be a YouTube video that you got to watch. So Nebium is a hacker group that's been trying to target MSPs and CSPs that have multi-tenancy and global admin into all of their tenants. So this is a response that Pax8 has essentially put out to, they want to share some essential details about Pax8 security strategy to protect their businesses and yours.
Yeah, but isn't that just a copy and paste of the email Microsoft sent out to their partners?
Yes, actually it is.
No, they used Control F and did a replacement for Microsoft to Pax8.
Okay. So Microsoft sent an email out to their partners that says all this. Pax inserted their name and now they're supposed to be cutting edge security.
You know what really has my interest here? Defense in depth. Pax8 has always employs defense in depth strategy from proactive measures like MFA to reactive and monitoring measures like 24/7 security operation center to rigorous internal process. God, this is hard to read. Whoever wrote this needs to go back to it.
Well, that's what I mean. It comes from Microsoft. It's written in corporate language.
A lawyer had to have written this.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. Probably several. It was probably a roundtable discussion of lawyers that wrote this.
Okay, let's talk about the underlying issue here. CSPs have been breached to get access to IT providers and then jump to their targeted clients by Nobelium, which is supposedly, or not supposedly, which is as of right now linked to Russia's SVR.
Yep.
Now, first of all, let's help the people. How do you stop this?
You make sure your CSP doesn't have global administrator rights to your tenants.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. There's one.
It's about 5 years.
But all of our CSPs have global admin access to our tenants.
Mine don't either.
I remove it as soon as they, so the link that they give you gives them the ability to license the tenants on behalf of you, as well as global administrative rights. The first thing that I do is remove the global administrative rights for them or delegated admin, because there's no need for them to do it.
Let me interrupt you real quick. So, because these are the arguments, because I've tried to have this discussion with people before and I can't get anywhere. So they do not need it to allocate the cellular licenses, to allocate licenses to your account. I mean, even Pax8, I want to say there was something out not too long ago. They said if they didn't have global admin access, they actually charged you a fee to like $5 or $15 a month per tenant because they didn't have global admin access.
My account right now.
And see, because they were really, you know, there for a while, they were really adamant because, you know, they were selling everything through Arrow and they were moving it out of Arrow to Pax8, and they were, hey, you got to make sure you take Arrow off or you can leave Arrow, but you got to put us on. Oh, that's the only way this will work. And that's when I started questioning, well, why do we give, I mean, I know CineX has global admin access to some of my tits. They won't.
Not with mine.
They won't after the weekend's over with, because I'm going to go through and the only people that's going to have global admin access to my tenants is going to be me. Oh.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody else wants global admin access, they need to let me know what are we doing here.
And to clarify, when we say global admin access, we're talking about delegated admin access that all CSPs would like to have. But here's the real issue. A level one technician or a level 2, 3, 4, 10 technician at a CSP can't really do anything for you. They have to escalate to Microsoft, which in my mind moots their need, the CSP's need to have delegated admin access, right? Now, Microsoft, I'm sure they can go in and do whatever the hell they want in your tent.
They can.
Dude, Microsoft has, there's no such thing as zero trust with them when you're a tenant.
Yeah, you're just a subtenant in their tenant.
You're a subtenant of their tenant. They'll do whatever they want to do. Okay, that's fine. It's their product. They make it. That's the way they want to operate. Okay.
Now, you guys are aware of the new billing changes coming in March of next year with Microsoft 365, correct?
Yeah, I'm trying to clear some things up with some clients now and try to figure out what they're going to do. But now I'm not. Let's stay on the Global Admin Access, and if you don't mind,
let's talk about it.
I will try to make sure I understand it. So they don't need the Global Admin. They really don't need any type of delegated access to your account.
Just for the first provisioning of any license. After that, they don't need it.
Okay. So after you do the initial and you get that first license provision, then you can go back in and remove their access to the tenant.
Correct.
That is a best security practice, because we all know the best security practice is to limit the access as much as possible, because people don't need it. Now, if they bully you into giving them delegated access, what is it they can do when they have delegated access?
Whatever the hell they want.
Yeah. That breaks literally least privileged access.
And zero. Yeah,
that's what it goes against least privileged access policies.
But here's the thing, right? With delegated admin access, as it stands right now, you cannot do every and anything in a tenant. But what you can do, create another user local to that tenant, make it a global administrator, and then log in as said user to do whatever the hell it is you want.
Yeah. So if you had a bad actor working inside that CSP and they had delegated admin access, there's a series of steps they could take, which we all know can easily be scripted nowadays, that would give them into that tenant. And, you know, and like I told, I think both of y'all are aware, I've had a client, and we're talking about this global admin access, that I discovered they had 17 end users, and I think 14 of them were global admins. And the one that they tell me is in charge of everything won't respond to a question or an email or anything like that.
Did you shut off their access so they would have to finally respond to you?
Oh no, that's a TM client. I'm doing quite well cleaning up their data breaches on a regular basis. So I basically was, as a courtesy, if you want to quit paying me to clean all this up, if you'll take these steps, it'll greatly reduce your exposure. They haven't taken the steps and they won't respond, but they do write checks. So they submit tickets. I fix the problem. I send them a bill. And I always, when I send them a bill, say, as a courtesy, if you will do these things here, it will greatly reduce your exposure. So
now
you do. I'm not going to be, look, I know there's some people out there that say, hey, I would never work for the client again. Which is crazy.
They only say that on Reddit. When they're on Reddit, and then when they go back to the client, please pay me. I'll do whatever you want.
Exactly. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Cash.
you cannot be an MSP.
What do you want? Well, I've got my MSP business, and my MSP side of things, when they say, hey, we want you in charge, they do what I say do. I mean, pretty much. My break fix people that don't want to pay maintenance stuff, time and materials, whatever. I mean, I'll tell you what you need to do, but if you don't want to do it, then that's up to you. But now, and that kind of does lead into the new charges coming from Microsoft. People need to be really aware, leery, that you could easily get on the hook for some licenses if you're not careful, can't you?
Well, I heard through the grapevine that the CSPs pushed for this change, which increases the cost of the licensing if you go on a month-to-month subscription versus a 1 year. Eric, let's play a game. Ask me how we can get around this bullshit.
Shiva, please tell me, is there a way that we can get around this bullshit?
Yes. You let the client buy their licensing directly from Microsoft from within their tenant in the admin.microsoft.com portal. And then you charge your client a support fee.
So, we're going to play devil's advocate.
Not against the partner agreement.
So, you know, everybody that we know here goes by the initials of DK that we call. I just say that because I'm not sure if I should say his actual name or not. But anyway, he made a very good argument. Most true MSPs and IT providers have enough buffer in their services that they offer to stomach the increase for the Microsoft 365 tenancy until license renewals.
I have one comment for that. Do lawyers or accountants stomach anything for their clients?
So to finish the statement that—
Who charge more than us?
Most MSPs or IT or any true business really does have a time of renewal, an increase. So you're just stomaching that till the renewal agreement comes in and then you're doing your rate increase and you're fine anyway. So, you know, if you're going to lose $5 per user, $6 per user, whatever that is based on whatever.
Oh, no, you're losing $24 a user.
Hell, you already got a certain base amount that you're already paying.
No,
you're only making up the difference.
Nah, you're not making up the difference. That's where I see the issue. If a client fires a employee, you're on the hook for the entire cost of that license. So without giving margins to the public, it's retail minus your margin, which is more than that $5 piece. Right?
Yeah. If you go to month to month, then you just let go of that one user and you're fine. You know,
month to month, but then there's a 20% increase on the license cost to you and the client,
which you just pass on to the business anyway.
Or the client can just buy it themselves. Microsoft makes more money, so they like you more. You cut out the CSP, which also cuts out a layer of vectors.
But then you remove the ability to potentially do your Microsoft Silver partnership.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But in the grand scheme of things, how many MSPs are actually Silver?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably a 1%er type thing, but I mean, it is something to consider. There's a lot of benefits to being a Silver partner. At least
I'd much rather charge 20-25% management / support fee on top of a 365 license that's bought directly from Microsoft than settle for the paltry percentage that we get from the CSPs.
Okay, look, some of these MSPs and we have a mutual friend are charging $250 a seat. And so now they're telling you tell the client, I'm going to charge you $250 a seat. You got to go direct for your license. And then I'm going to charge you 25% of what that is on top. I mean, for $250 a seat, I'll manage your 365.
Right. For $250. Yeah.
Especially when I don't have to buy your 365 license. I'll manage your 365.
Now $250, he better damn well be paying for the license too.
Which is fine. But what about the guys who are line iteming everything? They have to give their client a 20-40% increase on the license cost.
That's fine.
I'd say either you can continue to purchase from me at this price or you can go direct to Microsoft. I lied out in my licenses. I still don't sell at MSRP. I sell them for 40-50% above that because I include other things.
Right. That's a bundle that you've created, which is fine. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm concerned about the company that goes out of business with
clients will tell me they can get it cheaper from Microsoft. I said, well, you can get the line. Yeah, go buy it. I said, and take that amount of money that you're paying Microsoft for retail. Say it's $12.50 and I'm charging you $25. So you go buy your Microsoft license from them for $12.50. And then instead of $25, I'm going to charge you $12.50 because you're paying for the other stuff I'm doing.
Well, here's the interesting thing with this, right? You are, as a CSP or an indirect CSP selling licenses to your clients, you have to provide level one support. You cannot charge anything additional to the license for that level one support because that is part of your partner agreement. Right. If now the client is buying directly from Microsoft and you are out of that purchasing chain, you can charge time and material. You can charge whatever you want.
Charge whatever you want.
Yeah. So anyone who is selling a CSP license to a 365 customer and charging them for support of said license is breaking their partner agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not charging for support. I'm charging for spam filter.
I give an all-inclusive bundle.
Right. level one support's free. It's M-filtered. That's so darn expensive.
But yeah. I want to get back to the Nobelium issue. What does Eric, you're the IR guy in the group here. I'm just the asshole. What does MFA have to do with anything if the underlying subsystem is compromised? Because how many times was MFA mentioned in that email?
2 or 3, I think. But so that's MFA is only going to help if MFA is enabled on the SETA application. You know, how many, you know, we all have it. Anybody who listens to this show, either you're running a business or you have intern or whatever, you have metric tons of, you know, custom built line of business applications inside of your environment to make things work. You know, for some of mine, I've got manufacturing companies and distributors that have their own custom applications written to run their app, to run their day-to-day business. There is no MFA there, but you take that and you put into something like PAX8, which I don't know, go sidetrack a little bit, you know, somebody who, a company who is all about Microsoft, but puts a lot of their crap in Azure or in Amazon's AWS for domain.
Do as we say, not as we do.
I don't know, but the, you could, MFA is only going to work if the application supports it. So are they going to start eating their own dog food and mandating that all their internal applications require MFA or change application vendors?
I say cut out the vendor. Cut out the CSP. Let the clients go direct and charge whatever the hell you want.
Because I know for a fact there are VPNs set up for PAX8 for the remote people. You know, I'll just say it out the mat.
Microsoft ought to look at doing like the cable company to some sort of a master agent agreement where I can bring them a tenant and through a master agent, and then I get a percentage of that for bringing it to them from now on. And, but they don't pay me, they pay Microsoft. That's how cable cut, you know, that's how.
Well, PAX8 will let you do that.
But you're still responsible for the bill with PAX8.
No, with their direct bill model, they bill on behalf of.
I've seen, I'm wrong because I don't use that, but I've seen people say, yeah, PAX8, I was on direct bill with PAX8. And when my client didn't pay because the services were canceled, PAX8 just billed back the MSP.
Oh, wow.
Kind of disingenuous.
Because PAX8 wasn't, you know, they said ultimately the MSP is responsible for it. That's why I say a true master agent direct bill model, where I get a percentage of the back end, even if it's only 10-12%, for bringing them the tenant, but they direct bill the tenant and work from there. And then I can then charge whatever I want, just like I do when we do a fiber or a cable or anything like that. You know, we're managing the network. We're also, the clients pay the exact same for the thing. I'm getting a percentage for bringing the client to them. You know, it, everybody's happy. It's a share the wealth type thing.
That'll work out pretty well. But then there are too many CSPs, distributors out there right now who will lobby Microsoft to not let that happen. That's the problem, right?
True. And they do have pull because I've seen those distributors they've actually caused Lenovo distributors to be shut down because they didn't like the way, you know, the big boys had said, hey, if y'all don't close them down because their pricing is too aggressive, we're going to quit selling your product. So
it all
becomes a numbers thing forever.
It's a cartel. That's really what it boils down to.
It is. It is. It's something that, you know, the government's got a lot of things they're looking at. They really ought to pay if they only knew what was really going on in the tech industry.
But it's okay because Biden's already had a big meeting with all the big tech firms, and you know they're going to fix fucking cybersecurity.
I'm a big tech firm in my mind.
In your mind, but are you a? Never mind. I'm not going to go there. No, sorry, not that type of show.
Could be.
That's for the after hours party.
So, what are you guys going to do? Well, here's a question: is anyone here using PAX8 for CSP?
I'm not using for CSP. I was, but I got an email and we got everything figured out. And then when I went to use them, they wouldn't honor the pricing. So then I kicked it up. Somebody said, well, get with Ken. There'll be no big deal. So I got with Ken. He said, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it. So I have trouble working with a company that tells me one thing in writing, but then when I finally get ready to do something, they dodge the question or they will answer the question direct. So I just stick with I got Cenex is who I'm using.
I like Cenex. They treat me well. They leave me alone.
That's it. I've never had any real problems with them. And I understand the program. I can get things provisioned really fast. They've never told me one thing and done another.
You know what I really like about vendors? Well, the vendors I like, the one thing I really like about them, they sell me what I want. They leave me alone. And they don't bother me trying to say, hey, what can we do to help you grow your business today? Which means, how can I spend more money with them?
Yep.
Not only that, we want to help you grow your business. And is there some way we can get into your system so maybe we can figure out who all your clients are? Because we might be able to sell that list to somebody at some point.
That would never happen. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the thing that always rubs us. And we joke about this in our own private, channels, that these vendors will call up and be like, oh, what are you doing for this? And what are you doing for that? And, it's like, yeah, you're going to need to sign an NDA because we know you're putting all this shit.
I figured out a way around that with the BitTitan.
Did you pull the Jewish thunder from down under and ask him if they like something?
I did. He kept asking about my business. I asked what I thought was a very personal question, and this person was dumbfounded. And when I said, well, you're asking me personal questions, why can't I ask you personal questions? They hung up on me.
We normally don't shy away from being graphic here, but it's pretty much sticking something up your backside.
Well, let's not, I'll say it, they were asking how many clients I have, how many users, how many computers, personal information for a private company. So my retort was, do you like anal? And he didn't like it. Well, he didn't like the question.
He didn't like the question. And you speak about how people disclose information. Look at all the polls we see on social media all the time. MSPs will give up everything that they do. All you got to do is ask. And the only thing, they won't give you a list of your clients, but they'll tell you to go to their website. So I can look at social media and get a list of your tools. I can go to your website and get your clients. And every tool, you can look around and figure out what the back door is, how do we get into it, where's the mistake yet, the bug, and open yourself up. Cold calls now, a few I do take, because I try not to, our standard response now is I don't take unscheduled phone calls, period. And
you also have a pretty good gatekeeper.
Cause you could tell her just anything and everything.
Hell, I know you and I wouldn't call you.
He doesn't take unscheduled phone calls and he hasn't told me to accept your call. So I'm not taking the call. I'm getting ready to hang up now. and then move on. That's great.
For anyone that calls Robert, the first thing when a female answers the phone, just say go 45 and you will be greeted lovely.
You're trying to get people killed.
But it does happen. When I do take a cold call and they start all, and I told a lady the other day, I said, look, I don't know who you are. If you'll send me an email with your company information, your Dun & Bradstreet number and things like that, I'll put you through the vetting process. Which is going to include, I'll have somebody pen test your website and make sure it's secure and see what kind of software you're running. All that good stuff, because how do I know that you're just not a Russian sleeper agent?
Everyone is a Russian sleeper agent sometimes, or everyone would like to sleep with a Russian agent.
You're just waiting on the key word and then boom, I've got Nobilium inside my system.
I'm not Microsoft. Well, who was it? CrowdStrike and CISA did put out some detection tools to look for AMCs.
I will put out a good shout to, I've been dealing with Domox. I'm testing their stuff out because they've got a special going on and it's getting stupid cheap. So I'm I'm doing the test on it, and I've talked to two people there now. This is the most laid back people I've ever seen in my life. They're like, hey, you want it? Okay. You don't want it? We'll move on. We're going to send you some YouTube walkthroughs. We'll do whatever you want. We have two times a week. We have these comprehensive walkthroughs that you're more welcome to attend. You know, if you put your credit card on file, we're not going to bill it until the end of your trial. You know, there's no this immediate billing or anything. They really are. They remind me of Rocket Cyber when they first got started.
And for just to let everybody know, do you want to go into
detail? When they first got started, remember how easy those guys were when they first got started?
I never used them, quite honestly. I'm just a small umbrella.
Oh, they just were, they just, you know, they, there was just no pressure. And now all that's changed. Even SolarWinds was a little bit like that.
It's now enabled.
I can't. Even Hound Dog is Easy was like that. Now, whatever, which is now.
Yeah.
So what's the general consensus here? Are we going to stick with CSPs or are we going to go find a hybrid implementation?
My annuals are going, I'll stick with CSPs. People want to do month to month. I'm going to evaluate it on a company by company basis. If there's a lot of, moving in and out, I'll probably put them direct.
Can you do mixed billing where let's say a company has 20 people, you buy 10 or 15 on a yearly contract, thinking there's not going to be more than a 5-person move at change. And then maybe you buy 5
weekly
contracts.
Can you stay, you know, how you can use multiple partners, you know, in a tenant where both of you can sell to them. Can you do that with Microsoft?
I have two distributors I use for CSP and I provision licenses from both into tenants. That way, if support is unavailable for one, I call the other.
I understand, but can a client buy direct from Microsoft and buy from me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft will allow you to provision anyway till Sunday, as long as they get the money at the end of the day.
So you could actually set a tenant up where if you got like, it's a 10 user and you know, 5 of them are absolutely solid. So you sell 5 in your monthly rate or whatever, annually, however you want to do it. And you tell them, okay, for these, because you keep hiring and firing people every time I turn around, you need to buy these from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm stuck, but I'd probably just say, look, we're going to have to do annual billing. Most of mine like that are only annual billing anyhow. So.
Annual billing is fine. Depends on the size of the company, right? It's a big difference between a 20-person company and a 200-person company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got one client out there now that's got about 25 licenses and we keep putting in business processes that are eliminating positions. And of course that's worked out great for them, but they already bought annually, for their licenses. Next year, we'll probably move that to something totally different.
But that's the value add you bring to your clients, right? And that's where your value is.
If I would, next year when they do annual, I might just say, hey, you need to do, go ahead and reduce your annual down. And then, with this other people that are selling you your annual licenses, and then I'll just do month to month so I can handle the fluctuation. You're going to pay a little more, but only if you add people.
So I think this is where we get to be the consultants, right? And say,
exactly,
this is what we should do. Here's how we analyze your moves, adds, changes. And this is the best.
Use the experience that you've had. If it's a client you've had for the last year or two, use the experience you've had with the client to make a decision on what's going to be best for them.
Most clients really don't care. This is more of an MSP issue, I think.
That's true.
You know, clients are, if they're happy with you, they're, you know, it's easy peasy. If they're not happy with you, then you got bigger problems.
You know, it comes down to, like I was having a discussion the other day, fast food industry.
About pizza techs here.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about actual fast food this time, not the pizza techs that we talk to all the time. I just want to say, here's what I want and here's my money. And that's as far as I go with it. I don't want to have to repeat myself, check my order, make sure you give me everything. Just do your job. I mean, I don't even have a problem with you making $15 an hour as long as you do it.
Well, the difference is
pay you that much if
when you're selling services to us, your best path to growth is by making us buy more, right? Whereas in a fast food restaurant, it's a one-time purchase. Yes, the customer may come back, but you're only focused on that one sale at that point in time.
Yeah.
So that's all I got for today. I don't know. You boys all have anything else?
That's good. I got to get busy. I got lots of work to do today.
Is it work a code word for sleep, you old man?
I've actually got things to do. I got to go back down to the south end of the county and I got some of my commuting work.
Just for the record, the south end of the county, it's like 5 minutes away, isn't it?
Oh, it's about 30 minutes, but it's a beautiful drive because I get to actually go work on the world's most beautiful beaches. So
I hear there's a really good podcast you can listen to on the way. It's called Cybersecurity Amplified and Intensified.
I'll have to check it out and see if I can catch up with it. You sent me one yesterday. I'm going to try to listen to it.
That was a very good one. Not from us. Alan Alford. What is that called?
The CISO one?
Yeah, no, not the CISO one. The one with distributed IR. I got to find that. That is called the Cyber Ranch podcast that I got from you, Eric.
Yep.
All right, guys.
All right, Robert. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it, man.
Talk to y'all later.
Take care, bud.
See
ya. And with that, I guess since old man out, we'll wrap it up. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in for yet another episode of Piss and Vinegar, aka Amplified and Intensified. Please, please, please subscribe and tell everybody about us. And if there's something you want us to talk about, send us an email, info@amplifiedandintensified.com. And until then, or until next time, take care.